final story in our look back at 9/11 and its aftermath. On that sunny morning, Joe Gradisher was a spokesman in the Navy's Chief Information Office, known as CHINFO. After the plane smashed into the Pentagon, Gradisher was among the thousands who evacuated the military headquarters building and scrambled to continue the mission. Gradisher retired as a Navy captain, but still works in the Pentagon as a civilian public affairs officer. He spoke with Federal News Network's Justin Doubleday.
Remember it being the bright, beautiful, clear morning, slightly cool. For those that don't understand what the Chief of Information does, we are the Navy spokesman. We are those official Navy spokesmen you see quoted in the news and various outlets. So we're used to dealing with the press. We're used to having TVs on in the office. So with multiple TVs on, we were all watching that morning and saw the initial film of what was happening in New York, the first plane hitting. And then, of course, as we were watching live, we knew that when the second plane hit, that this was more than just some random act. We began a process within Navy Public Affairs Headquarters with the Chief of Information. We started to try and figure out, okay, what do we do when we start getting the questions of what's the Navy doing in response? And so I was actually in the office with the Admiral when, with no advance notice at all, we got hit. Given the location where the plane hit the building and where CHINFO is located, if that plane had gone another 30 feet, it would have been underneath us. For me, what happened was I had my back to the window in the direction where the plane came in, and there was just one huge BAM! And then the concussion, the pressure change, and I ducked because it felt like whatever was coming into the building or whatever was causing the explosion was coming right over my shoulder. So I looked out the window, and the window itself was just rattling back and forth and bowing in and out. And about that same time, the fireball passed over the top of our head and created a vacuum in that alleyway. So there was smoke and debris and things flying all over the place. And then it kicked in. And, all right, we need to get everybody out of here. So we gathered everybody, about 60, 65 people in CHINFO at the time, and shepherded them out of the building. We exited the building, and I actually walked around the building and saw pieces of the plane in the area just in front of the impact point. But then it was, let's go back to finding our people. Job one for us as leaders in that particular office, make sure our people got out. And that was not an easy task. You had conservatively on that day 20-some thousand people in the building all exiting, and at the same time, it's hard to find people in that crowd. Well, normally you would have one place to go to in a fire drill or actual event. Ours happened to be where the plane hit, so we couldn't gather there, and so we're trying to find our people while we're out in the parking lot. The security guard started screaming, get further away, there's another plane inbound. So we moved out the other side of 395 into the Crystal City, Pentagon City area. As we decided to move up to the hill to where the, at the time there was the Navy Annex building up there, where, about where the Air Force Memorial is now. But that was evacuated as well. So we ended up setting up a temporary Navy headquarters in the Virginia Department of Transportation building, which was right across the street. And we got the Secretary of the Navy and his staff and the Chief of Naval Operations and the Vice Chief and their staffs and CHINFO, and we reconstituted a Navy headquarters there. It became part of our mission that day to try and figure out a way to account for everybody that was in the building from the Navy, because there was no easy way to identify who was there or who was not. There was no good record keeping on any given day. You couldn't just put out something by cell phone. The cell phone network shut down. We instituted the 1-800 number to get people to call in to try and account for all the Navy people, because we needed to find out who was missing and how extensive the damage was. At the same time, on the way to that building, many may remember there was a Citgo gas station down by the Pentagon, and that became kind of a rallying point for a lot of people, including media. And so many of us stopped along the way to give our perspective, because we were right there in that immediate vicinity, so we could kind of point out what was in that area from the Navy perspective. So it became a juggling act of accounting for our people and accounting for the Navy people and doing our job as public affairs officers. And, oh, by the way, try and let family and friends know that you were alive. My family lives in Michigan, and I had a young daughter in high school, and she was panicking because they put it on TV, and she saw the building burning, and it was 4 hours before I got a phone call back saying I was alive, just because the network shut down, and then because of the job I had to do, it took a while to get to a landline to be able to call them back.
As you reflect on it, the events of that day, did it change anything for you, you know, personally or professionally or both, in the trajectory of especially where your career went as a public affairs officer in the Navy?
Well, it cemented the fact that I was in the career field that I was meant to be in. So eventually when I retired in 2005 from active duty, after a short stint at a firm here in the area, I came back to the Navy as a civilian public affairs officer, which I've been doing for the last 12 years now. So it confirmed for me I was in the right job as a Navy spokesman. That's where I was meant to be.
Navy public affairs officer and retired Captain Joe Gratisher, speaking with Federal News Network's Justin Doubleday. Find this and all of our 9/11 anniversary coverage at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search A Tuesday Like No Other.
Hello, and welcome to the Lessons in Leadership podcast. I am your host, Shane Canfield, CEO of WEPA. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Vice Admiral Cutler Dawson. Cutler has had an incredible career serving our country for 35 years in the Navy, where he attained the rank of Vice Admiral. And during his service, he had numerous assignments afloat and ashore, including Commander, Second Fleet, Striking Fleet Atlantic, and in Washington at the Pentagon and on Capitol Hill, where he was the Navy's Chief of Legislative Affairs. Immediately following his retirement from active duty in 2004, he became the president and CEO of Navy Federal Credit Union, the world's largest credit union, where he served for 14 years. Under his leadership, Navy Federal grew from 2 million to 8 million members. Phenomenal. Cutler, welcome and thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Shane.
You've had a fascinating career across both military and the private sector. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background and your professional journey?
Well, I started out at the Naval Academy, where I graduated in 1970, and then, as you mentioned, spent 35 years in the Navy, with six actual afloat commands. The first one was when I was 27 years old. I didn't know enough to be scared of anything, and it was probably one of the highlights of my career. And then after I retired after 35 years, I went to work at Navy Federal Credit Union as the CEO, where I spent my next 14 years. I'm currently retired and enjoying life, and it's been a great run for me.
How would you describe your leadership style, and how's that developed over the years?
My style has been quite consistent. I believe, and I've learned this in the Navy, that you have to go to the deck plates to see what is going on. And you have to learn what your people do and how they do it so you can help them to be better at it and more efficient and more productive. It's something that you need to do all the time. I remember I used to tell folks that you don't want to retreat to your cabin. And what I mean by that is the longer you're in a position, the less you think you have to get out and about. But that should be the opposite. You should get out and about more, because people change, situations change, and you've got to figure out a way to get to them and find out what they're doing and what you can do to help them.
We'll talk a little bit more about your book, but I read it, From Sea to the C-Suite. Fantastic read. You talk about the deck plates in that as well. I would encourage everyone to get a copy of this and read some more detail about going to the deck plates. Cutler, who was the most impactful leader in your life, and what quality did you admire about them?
I had numerous while I was in the Navy, but the quality that I enjoyed the most was the leaders that got to know me as an individual. and that they cared about me, and I could tell that they cared about me. And they were not only my leaders, but they were my mentors. And I remember one particular one, Bill Schiffer, when I had my first assignment at the Pentagon. I would go in to see him with my problem of the day, and I knew that he had numerous problems of his own, but he would stop and he would focus on me, and he would make me feel like I was the most important person in his world. And I tried to do that throughout my career, but really it's about caring for your people.
Cutler, in reading your book, there was a quote you used that you used to inspire those people that work for you. And it really got my attention. And it was, you are the captain of your own ship. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what that means and how it was useful to you and the leaders you were developing.
Absolutely. What I mean by captain of your own ship, when you are the captain of a ship, sometimes you're in the middle of the ocean and you don't have anybody to turn to make decisions. You don't have anybody to turn to ask, what should I do now? You have to be the captain of that ship. And I translated that into, let's say, Navy Federal's organization, where I would tell branch managers that I said, you are the captain of the ships of Navy Federal. You're the ones that are facing the members or customers, as others call them, every day. And you have to make decisions without a lot of guidance in some cases and without a lot of time. So be the captain of your own ship. Step up, make decisions, do what you think is right, and you never can go wrong.
I think that is so important. And you have to give your people a little bit of latitude to take some risk as well, because there is risk for them in doing that and risk to your organization.
That's right. And I mentioned that I took command of my first ship with 5 years in the Navy, and I was 27 years old. Well, my boss had 32 years in the Navy, and his guidance to me when I first met him was, Cutler, you do the right thing and I'll back you up all the way. What a wonderful way to spend an assignment with backup and guidance like that.
What great advice. It's clear leadership is a topic you're passionate about. You wrote the book we mentioned before, From C to C-Suite. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Yes. When I was at Navy Federal, I would tell C stories as parables to get my point across. And folks would tell me, Cutler, we like your stories. It gives us a picture of what you're trying to tell us. Now, what else are they going to say? They work for me, but I took it as a compliment, and it was. And my wife encouraged me to write a book, and I needed a co-author to help me. And I found a lady named Taylor Keelan, who was the perfect co-author. She turned in my stories into wonderful chapters that I'm very proud of.
Where can listeners find a copy?
Well, you can get it on Amazon, and you can also get it on the Naval Institute website. And I might add that any proceeds from the book, Navy Federal uses to give to charity.
Fantastic. Cutler, thank you very much. Really enjoyed your time and your lessons in leadership and sharing with us your life story. And I've learned a lot both from talking to you today and reading your book. And thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure. And I would like to add one thing if I could, Shane. During my assignments in Washington, D.C., I gained the utmost respect for the civilians that work here every day. They're hardworking, they're dedicated, and they have my eternal gratitude. I got to come and go from the Pentagon. They stayed every day and worked in Washington when I got to go out and enjoy being at sea.
Perfect, thank you. Yeah, WAPO serves civilian federal employees, but your comment is well taken because the interaction between the two is continuous, it's nonstop, and it's critical. So the career civil servants, as well as career military, our country would not be where it is today without them.
I totally agree. And I can tell you from the U.S. Navy standpoint, we couldn't operate like we do without them being the backbone of what we do.
Thank you very much for your time today, Cutler. And to everyone listening, to Lessons in Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.